Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know if everybody knows me. My name is Brother Martin Klusen from the Czech Republic. And I have a wife and four children. So I can relate to the mothers who are trying to keep the children quiet in the meeting. Sometimes it's not easy. But definitely it's one of the ways you can bless the meeting. Amen, isn't it? I remember when we have conference week long. Sometimes my wife spent half of the meeting outside of the room. Anyway, why don't we come before God and submit this time and our souls to Him? Amen. Father, we pray in this moment that your presence would be among us. We pray, O God, that every other spirit, every contrary spirit would be overcome. I pray for our ability to hear and for my ability to speak and relate to what you have on your heart, O God. Hallelujah. I pray, Lord, for the prophetic utterance that you would be speaking to the hearts of the people. Because, Lord, we are not interested in people, we are not interested in words, we are interested in you. So I pray in this moment that you would be the one who would be glorified in our midst. I pray also for the translator. That you would anoint him, that you would strengthen him, and give him the ability to flow. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
It's my privilege to be here, standing here. Can I see the hands of those who were in Lianga last weekend and we did talk to you? I see a few hands. I see somebody there. Or John, I see a few here. So not many, but there's few. Amen. So I just mentioning something I mentioned there again. Anyway, I would like us to go into Genesis. Let's start in Genesis, the first book. Who knows the story of Adam and Eve? Who knows the Adam and Eve? Not many. Five? 10, maybe 15, okay. We need to teach more. Hallelujah. So in the very beginning, God has created the earth. Did you know that? Amen. Praise God. So it's God who created. He created the earth. And He created it for man. And then He created the man. Do you know He created the man that he can have fellowship with somebody? That's the reason why God created man. Man is the same kind as God. Did you know that? It might be a surprise for you, but God created us in His own image. Biologically. Do you know that in biology, if you have two, let's say, animals or two plants which are not of the same kind, they cannot reproduce? It's impossible. Amen. So you have to have the same, the exactly same kind. Why did God do it this way? Because He wanted us to get the message. When the Holy Ghost came and overshadowed Mary, she conceived a child. And she gave birth to Jesus Christ. Amen. So it means that God and man can produce. Of course, we are speaking on a spiritual level. But it's telling us, it's giving us the message that we are the same kind as God. Amen. Hallelujah. So God did not create man to work for Him. God didn't create man just to give him job on the earth. God created man because He needed somebody to share His love. And for us to understand it, He split man into two. So to get a better picture of it. Let's go to Genesis in chapter 1. Who's got his Bible with the Old Testament here? Can I see your hand? Bible with Old Testament. Okay. So at least the Bible with New Testament. One of the things is you need to get Bibles. Pray to the Lord that you will get your Bible. All your people who want to lead the people of God, do everything you can to get them Bible. So, Genesis 1, actually, where do I go? How do I do it? I think I'll be in chapter 2. God created, the short is, God created a man and his name was Adam. Yeah, God created a man and his name was Adam. Chapter 2:18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. It is not good for man to be alone. God knows the feeling. Because we are like God, it is not good for God to be alone either. Hallelujah. God doesn't want to be alone because He wants to share His love. So, let's see who can be the companion for Adam. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. You will need a Visaya Bible. Is it English? Or this is Visaya? Is it English? No, this is Visaya. Good. Good, okay. So, Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. I'm 2:20. Wanted Adam to realize the need he has for a companion. You have there all the animals. You have there all the beautiful lions and giraffes and birds and whales and dolphins and there was no companion for Adam. Why not? Sorry? Because you have to have somebody of your kind to be able to share your heart with him. Amen. And God then created Eve, the woman, out of Adam. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord had God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. 23.
Amen.
So we know that a woman was taken out of man. She is the same kind. And they can have relationship on the same level. Hallelujah. It is only a picture for us. Because God is trying to give us a message about His need and His desire to have relationship with man. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So, God created a man to have a relationship, and he is walking with him and talking with Adam. But what has happened? What has happened there? God says to Adam, and Eve, you can do all the things in the garden except of the one thing I need to test you on. And to make long story short, Adam and Eve submitted to the devil. They have submitted to the snake. Serpent, if you want, yeah. They have given the devil all the dominion they were supposed to have, all the power and authority. Amen. But not only this, but they have lost the relationship with God. Let's go to Genesis 3.
Genesis chapter 3.
And after they have sinned, we are in verse 8.
And they
heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. So instead of open relationship between God and man, the sin has caused Adam and Eve to fear God. God before, when he would be walking in the cool of the day, Adam and Eve would be running to him and say, "Hello God, it's good to see you again this morning." They would be drawn to the light and the presence of the Lord. But it's the sin in a man which causes a man, when there's a presence of God, to hide away. Hallelujah. And then God is walking and he's trying to reach your heart, but a sin has caused man to run away from God. And you know, God is God with all power, but he also has a heart. And his heart has been hurt in the same way as if a woman would betray a man. God himself felt the gap in his heart. And And he says in the 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said unto him, where are you? Where art thou? Amen. Do you really think that God, who knows everything, didn't know under which bush Adam is hiding? Hallelujah. It is not the lack of knowledge in the mind of God. Adam, where are you? It was not the lack of knowledge, it was the lack of relationship. It was the lack in a heart of God where he was missing his friend, and he called, Adam, where are you? The heart of God was broken that moment.
Yeah.
Amen. Can you relate to it? God has put the ability to love into our heart. But he was the first who loved us. Amen. And he is the one who is asking since then for 6,000 years. He is asking, Adam, where are you? I desire a relationship with you. I have created you for the reason that we would be one, we would talk together and walk together. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Amen. So, what happened in the beginning is that Adam lost the relationship with God. You know, God knew it from the beginning it will happen. Hallelujah. And he made a provision for us. But be careful, we do not want to go back to where Adam was. You know, I heard the gospel to be preached in a way. That in the beginning there was God and man together. Adam sinned and he had to leave God. And then God says, okay, I want to fix it, I give him law. The law didn't work and God scratched his hand and said, okay, let's try a different trick. What about Jesus? And he gave man Jesus. That worked, so man can go back to where Adam was. Sounds all right? But it's not right. First of all, God is not scratching his head saying, well, oops, that didn't work. God knew from the beginning it will not work.
Yeah.
second, God doesn't want us to go back where Adam was because he was not finished product. In the beginning, there was a God. And he, I don't know how to make a picture of God. You have to forgive me. But I know he's like we are, so I'll make a man. Amen. He would be a bigger man than we are, but anyway, and here is another man, which is actually Adam and Eve. This is 6,000 years ago. Amen. So what happened there? The relationship has been broken. In Genesis 1:26, it suggests that God wanted to create Adam in his image and likeness. In 1:27, however, it tells he created him only in his image. So we are like God in a sense of we are the same image, the same kind. But 6,000, this is year zero. Okay, this is year zero. Okay, what is the year today? No, it's not 2011. It's something like 6005, 6011, somewhere there. We are in the year 6000 now. Amen.
Amen.
Did you know that? In which year has the Jesus died? About 4,000. Somewhere here, in year 4,000, let's say 4,030, this is Jesus Christ. And here, 6,000 something, this is us. Amen. So we have here 6 times 1,000. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,000 years.
Okay.
So God knew in the year zero he will create a man in his image. But he cannot create him in his likeness. He cannot create him in his likeness yet. How do I know that Adam was not yet like God? Because at the first occasion, he did not behave like God and he obeyed the serpent. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, at the first occasion, Adam has broken the relationship between him and God. And this is not like God. God will never break relationship between you and him. Hallelujah. Even in the times where you don't know about him, he is there to try try to bring you back. Hallelujah. God cannot help himself but to love you. And as Jesus Christ said, he loved you even when you were sinners, before you were sinners. Love is not that he loves you because of what you are, but regardless. Husbands, men, if you are like God and you are supposed to be, you are supposed to love your wife you do not want to say it loud, huh? I'm not giving up on you. So we need to love our wives regardless. Amen. Hallelujah. We are not going to wait for our wives to be perfect before we love them. Because God is not waiting for us to be perfect because he loves us. Hallelujah. Do I see only the women clapping or is it men too? So here is the relationship, if you permit me, I'll make little plus as the relationship between God and man. And I have to, excuse me, cross the plus because the relationship has been broken. God knew it will happen. And yet, when he created, listen, when he created the man, he said, it's good. Because God was not speaking about this day, about the day zero. God looked into the future. He looked into the future. He looked at the year 6000 something. And he said, it's good. Hallelujah. Aha. You know, God knows the future. He can take the book. And he can cheat. Do you know God can cheat? Because he's looking into the future. You know, when I read a book, I always go to the end. I see the result. And if I like the result, I gladly read the book. And I am not afraid in the middle of the book when situation gets complicated, when it almost looks like the main hero will lose his life, because I know the end of the book. Hallelujah. And not only God knows the future, but I know the future too. Do you believe me? I know what is going to happen. I know the end of the story. Because I have a book which not only has beginning, but it has the end. Hallelujah. Oh yes, praise Jesus. So not only I can see the story of a broken heart between a man and God, but I know the end of the story, where God is the same God, but the man is multiplied. Amen. It's called the body of Christ, the second Adam, if you wish. And the relationship is reestablished. Hallelujah. And not only the relationship is reestablished, but this time it's not only man who is in the same image, but also in the same likeness. Hallelujah. It is a man who has the same nature as God. Hallelujah. Who has proven that he has talked to the serpent, and the love for God overcame the devil. Hallelujah. And God sent us an example and enabler for us. He himself took out of himself the seed. Hallelujah. And he has put it into a man's body. Which was Jesus Christ himself. It happened about 2,000 years ago. Amen. And Jesus was a full man. But he was also full God. And he has proven by walking on this earth that you can be in the same flesh you and me are, holy walk and talk with your Father, God, and friend. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
I like the amigo. Amen.
Friend.
Yes. God, amigo. Hallelujah. Amen. So, this was the first of the of his brothers born later. Amen. So this is Jesus Christ, but that's not the end of the story. The end of the story is the body of Christ coming to the same fullness as Jesus himself. Amen. So, till that moment, when we come in the fullness, you can still hear the call of God. And it says, Adam, where are you? Amen. What is your name, sister? What's your name, sister?
Lorna.
Lorna.
Yeah.
It's Lorna. Where are you? What is your name, sister?
Leticia.
No?
Leticia.
Leticia. Leticia. Where are you? Mark. Where are you? Amen. So there's this calling where God wants to have His own relationship with each of you. Listen. We've got a problem. We cannot have full relationship with God, who is light, if we are in darkness. Hallelujah. Because the darkness in us would disable God from being in our presence. So God is saying, where are you? I want to be as close to you as possible. Why do you disable me from coming close? Hallelujah. By not being like me. So God is in a project for 6,000 years. Giving man everything that he can overcome and become the same nature as God. Hallelujah. God says, be ye holy as I am holy. Every time you sin, you are submitting yourself to the serpent, to the devil. And you are destroying the relationship between God and you. God is able to forgive. But God is a gentleman. He will not come to force you to love him.
Yes.
He wants you to love him from your free heart. Hallelujah. But the word love, the devil had made a lot of work on it. These days when we say love, it has all different meanings. If a young man comes to a young lady and says, "I love you," can you interpret for me the meaning of this word? It is in the same way. If I look at a cow or chicken and I say, "I love you." It means I don't care how you feel. I don't care who you are. I want to have you on my plate. I don't see chicken or cow, I see beefsteak. So when I say love you in this world, be careful, girls and ladies. When the man tells you, "I love you," you better ask him what he's talking about. Hallelujah. He is not seeing maybe your soul and your prophet. He might be actually seeing you as a dish to satisfy his lust and desire. And in that case, you say, I am not a cow to become a beefsteak. Amen. Because the love is that you lay down your life. Hallelujah. So when Jesus and God tells you, "I love you," it's not speaking of emotional fit. It's speaking about his desire for you to be well. Hallelujah. And he's willing to pay for you with his own life. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
This is the relationship God wants to reestablish. And you are very fortunate people. Because time wise, you are here at the end. End of the 6,000 years of creation. Hallelujah. Where God will enable you, if you want, to fully enter into the relationship. relationship and walk and talk with Him. Not like Adam did, but like never man did before. Hallelujah. That's one of the reasons you have to work on building your marriages. Because with your marriage, you are preaching to the world. Amen. So, now we know how God is supposed to be, to love you. What about the other party? What is the other party supposed to do? Are we supposed to love God too? Do you love God? Do you love God? Do you really love God? How does He know? How does He know? Huh? If you are in the church and you say, I love you, God. If you sing a song and say, I'm in love with you, Lord. It pleases the heart of God. And yet it grieves Him if with your deeds you deny your love to Him. Amen. Hallelujah. I have a wife. Wonderful wife. I hope I can bring her one day. It's making my trip very difficult for me being without her. Perhaps I could stay without the food, without the sleep, without many things much better than without my wife. But because I love you, I'm willing to suffer through this. Amen. Imagine I'm telling my wife, I say, I love you, honey. And here, I'm hugging another lady. This is what we do. We say, I love you, God. And yet we have relationship with the devil. Don't we? When we sin, it is different than God wanted us to do. The way we think, the way we dress, the way we behave, the way we speak. So God is in business and in process of changing us to His likeness. Hallelujah. We did read from Genesis, that's the very beginning. From the second chapter and third. Let's go to the end. What is the last book in the Bible? Help me. Revelation. So let's cheat a little bit and look at the end of the story. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go to Revelation. Revelation 21. I think.
Pinadaya kapitulo 21.
21, 15 or something there. Let me see.
Pwede pa. Pinaw sa. Yung pinadaya diyan, ha? Ikaw.
Nine. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Amen. Did you know that God is going to get married?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are you coming for his wedding? What is your role? Amen. Do you want to be the bride of Christ? All right. So now tell me. Why should God marry you? Be honest. Why should God marry you? Huh? He loves you, but it's not enough to marry you. He will not love, he will not marry anybody who loves, because the word says that God loves the whole world. So he loves the whole world. His heart is after anybody in the world. And yet, is he going to marry the whole world?
No.
So, why should he marry you? In which sense? In which sense we are equal to God? In which sense we are equal to God? We are all in the world the same image of God. So we are equal to God in the sense of being the same kind. But the difference would be if we are like God, if we are holy like He is holy. So the good news is there's going to be a wedding. The bad news is it might not be your wedding. The good news is, it depends on you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. It is available. It is available. God is most willing to reestablish the love relationship between Him and you personally. But it will not happen automatically. There are some sitting in this congregation. In the midst of our churches, who by their actions decide they do not want to become the bride of Christ. And yet, all of them say, yes, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There are those who came to Jesus and they were, Jesus was saying, it's not enough to say, Lord, Lord. He says, go away from me, I do not know you. And they said, we have prophesied in your name. We have been doing miracles and healings in your name. We have done evangelizations in your name, if you wish. And yet, he's saying, I don't know you. You who are committing, what is the word? It's in Matthew 7.
Matthew City.
The worker's sin, is it? I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We are in Matthew 7:23. Amen. So it's not only about saying, I love you, Jesus. It's not about coming to church and to these meetings. Amen. It's about reestablishing the relationship with God. So in Revelation 21, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. I will show thee the bride, Lamb's wife. Just say it. Nine. End of nine.
Katapusan nito.
Umalika, ipakita, ugali mo ang pagsamon, ang asawa sa
Cornelius. Oh.
Amen.
Ay pakita ko kanimo ang asawa nun, ang asawa sa Cornelius mo nito.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I wanted to see the word adore. Where is the word adore here?
Gusto niya po itawag may isog na bang nag-adore.
She has adorned herself. Is it here? Brother Mark, find for me the adorn. So, how is behaving in this hour the bride of Christ? What is she doing now? Behaving the bride before marriage. What's in her head?
Ah,
about herself. What is in her head? What is she thinking? What is a young lady thinking about before marriage? About her beloved. Her thoughts are with her beloved. How beautiful he is. How loving he is. How lovely he is. Amen. So, if you are a bride of Christ, or wannabe, you are, your mind is set and thinking on him. Is the bride before marriage thinking about another man? No way. No way. So you need to make sure you get out of your mind. Every sin. Also, here, number two. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. It is time for the bride to adorn herself. So, help me here. How can you adorn yourself? How are you supposed to be adorning yourself? Make ourselves holy? Or maybe you should change your clothes and wear more gold and pearls? No? Cleanse your heart? Alright, let's look how women should be adorned. I believe we are in 1 Peter 3. And let's go to chapter 3:1. Likewise, ye wives. Wives, can you raise up your hand now? And now I mean the spiritual wife of Christ. So I want everybody who wants to become the bride to raise hand. The man, you can raise up the hand. Man, if you want to be the wife of Christ, who wants to be the bride of Christ? Do you want to be the wife of Christ? You can raise your hand. Amen. Hallelujah. So, wives, and I'm talking now the spiritual wife. Be in subjection to your own husband. Christ himself. So, if you say, I want to marry him, obey him. Wives, if you want to teach the church and the world, how should you behave towards God, obey your husbands.
Ginahanglan gayon nga musabitar sa inyong
without a word be won by the conversation of the wise, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. 1 and 2. Adoring, let it not be that outward adoring of plaiting with the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on the, of apparel. 3. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of the meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of a great price. This manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. God says in Revelation 21:2 that that the bride of Christ is now busy adoring herself. And how do you adore yourself? We read in Peter here. We are talking about the hidden man, the heart. Don't be mistaken, brethren. The relationship between God and the man will not be reestablished by coming to church. By saying, "I love you, Jesus." Or by singing songs. Let's read one more scripture about it, and let's go to 1 John 2. Where is it? Where is the scripture? If you love me, you will obey my. Is it?
Verse 3.
Yes, 3 it is. I'm looking at 7. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He says, "Depart from me, I don't know you." Do you know God? Can I see your hands? Do you know God? Do you think you know God? If you say you know God, it means that you do His commandments. If you do not do His commandments, you don't know Him. Hallelujah. Brethren, let us stop deceiving ourselves. It is serious business. It is a serious business, and I do not want you to be surprised. If the church is telling you otherwise, read your Bible. You don't know Jesus by being in a church. You know only about Jesus. Amen. You know only about Him. You know the story of Jesus. Hallelujah. But to know Jesus speaks about an intimate relationship with Christ. Do you know what the word know mean in the Bible? And Adam knew Eve. Child. Knowing speaks about a close walk and close relationship. Amen. So if you say, I know Him, and he that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So do we understand, brethren, that we need to know Him by keeping His commandments? Hallelujah. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, hereby know we that we are Him. So here, brethren, God is working and enabling us to establish the love of God. He has done His part, and He is expecting us to do our part. His part was to lay down His life for you. He has done it till the last drop of His blood. And now He's calling your name. And He's asking, where are you? Where are you? I want you to keep my commandments. And if you keep my commandments, I can come and talk to you. I can walk with you. I can talk with you. You know, God wants you to be in love with Him. God wants you to be seeking Him and seeing where is He. We could go to Song of Solomon. And read the desire which is between the beloved and her and his beloved. You know, one of the biggest sin of the churches is that they teach that you cannot access God and you have to go by a man. One of the biggest sin of you, if you are teachers or shepherds or elders, would be if you establish relationship with the man in the church rather than pointing them to God. Each of you, brethren, you need to go to God and learn to listen what He says. Amen. I cannot be your ears. Hallelujah. You have to have your own walk and your own hearing from God. Hallelujah. You cannot be dependent on a man to take care of you. God is jealous. Hallelujah. If I become your God, if I become your provider, if I become the one who is giving you instructions what to do, I am dealing in the spirit of Antichrist. Hallelujah. Because I would be moving in a place where Christ is supposed to be. Hallelujah. So, we need to each of us learn to walk with God individually. You know, brethren, you have an ideal position for it. You are in an ideal position. Do you know why? Because you are needy people. Hallelujah. You have many needs. You need God to provide for you. You need God to heal you. Maybe you don't have anybody to help you. You are like the man at the lake, at the pool. And says, I'm here for what, 38 years? And I have nobody who would throw me in the water when it's stirred. This is the greatest opportunity for Christ Himself to be the one who will heal you and touch you. Hallelujah. You know, when I was a little younger, I was in similar situation like you are. It was, maybe in a way, I was in worse condition than you are. I didn't have a mother or father to take care of me. I didn't have any source of money. I was on my own. I was 16, 17 years old. I was taking care of myself. But I had God. Amen. And if you see me, I will be the happiest child around. Because I'm walking and talking with my God. Hallelujah. I go home and I sit with my Bible. I had a Bible. And God is speaking and speaking and speaking. And I'm so excited, it's late, and God says, it's time for you to go to sleep. And I said, God, I mean, I still want to talk to you. And he says, let's talk in the morning. And when I didn't need to go to school, I would spend the whole day at home. I didn't need to eat. Sometimes I had nothing to eat anyway. Amen. But it didn't matter because I had the time with God. Hallelujah. And then the Lord sends me to some people. And he says, go and preach and talk to them. You know, God knows everything. I did not need to tell God I have no money. God knew that. But if God knows it and he says go, I go. And it's not 5 kilometers. I'm talking about 100 kilometers. So I go to catch a train. I have no money. On the way, God says, there's a puddle there. Go reach into the puddle. There'll be money for you for the train. So I go, I reach into the puddle. And I had money for the train. If God says go, you go. He will take care of you. You learn of his ability to provide in your greatest need. Hallelujah. Amen. There is story after story. God tells me, go and visit these people in the village. I go to visit the people, but I don't know where they live. So I go, I sit on the train, and I travel to a city where I believe they live. And I believe when I get into the city, God will speak to me and show me where to go. The train stops on a station in some village. And do you have trains here?
Yes.
Okay. So you know through a train. Okay. Okay. And I stopped in one village. I'm just anyway, and it stops in one village. I'm sitting there and God says, get out of now. I was not ready, but God says, get out of the train. So I quickly collect my things and I get out of the train. And the train leaves. And because I had full hands, it all felt on the platform. And I'm collecting my things and I feel like a fool. What am I doing in the middle of this village where I have no idea what to do here, where to go? Somebody asks me, the only thing I can answer is because God told me. The train is gone. I have my things, and because the train is was there, it stopped the traffic, and there's a lady on a bike waiting for the train to go away. Hallelujah. And I ask her, and that's the lady I'm going to visit. And she says, what a dumb question. I live here, but what are you doing here? She says, do you see this house? This is where I live. Hallelujah. You know, when God tells you go, He will take care of you. Hallelujah. You know, he asked me to go to one place. It was a little conference like this. It was 70 kilometers from my house. And I needed to take care of the garden. It was in the summer. They have kilometers or miles? Kilometers. Okay. So it was 70 kilometers from my house. I had no money. I said, God, how do I get there? And she says, get your bike. Do you have bikes? Amen. So in the morning, I sit on the bike. And I travel 70 kilometers there. In the evening, when I finish, I travel 70 kilometers back. In the morning, next day, I travel 70 kilometers there. God gave me strength to do it. Sometimes He gives you money to train, sometimes He gives you strength to walk. Hallelujah. Once God sent me to another place to speak, and I was hitchhiking. hitchhiking. Do you know hitchhiking here? Stopping cars? Do you do it here? Maybe not. No. Okay, what we do in Czech, you stay on the road and you hitchhike, and if there goes a car and wants to take you, it takes you somewhere, and then you continue and jump and hitchhike till you get there. But you cannot hitchhike in the night. Everybody's afraid, so nobody will take you. So I go, because God told me to go, so I hitchhike and I go to a different place. In the night, then the night comes. And I'm in the middle of the journey. I still have maybe 100 kilometers to go. Well, maybe 80. And I go to the train station. I said, I will be sitting here till the morning. And in the morning, I will continue. But I was so excited I'm with God. I'm sitting there. And I'm all happy. I'm full of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's going to do marvelous things. And in front of me, there's sitting a man. Tired and sad. He missed a train. And he has to wait 1 hour for the next train. So I asked him, and I said, hello. So we started, and I said, well, he missed the train, and he's waiting for the next one in an hour. And he's very tired, he had a long day. And he says, what about you? I said, I'm so excited. And he says, where are you going? I said, well, I don't have any train, I'm waiting here the whole night. And he said, you don't look like being tired or upset from it or disappointed. And I said, no, I will surely have a good time with my God. I'll be talking with him and sitting here all the time. And I asked him, do you know Jesus? And he says, yes, I'm a preacher. I have to travel to this village 45 minutes every week there and 45 minutes back, and it's very tiring. And he said, you have no way to go home. I said, no, I have way, that's not a problem. I would never ask for anything. Amen? Well, he says, well, why don't you use the train? You go to the same destination. And I said, well, I don't have any money for a train, so I'm waiting for God, and perhaps I'll do something else. But he decided to give me half of his dinner. And and he paid me a ticket on the train. And the whole time in the train, I'm giving him testimony and I'm telling him about God. And I'm giving him story after story how God is good and able to provide. You know, brethren, we don't depend on people. Use your time of need to learn to walk with God. Let Him provide for you, because He's well able. And if you walk and talk with Him, you more and more reestablish your relationship and your love with God. Hallelujah. And nobody will have to tell you that you should not sin. Because the love you have for God will motivate you to keep His commandments. And you will say, I do it because I love Him. Hallelujah. Amen. So the love for God is to motivate you to be holy and to overcome. Hallelujah. I like your t-shirt, by the way, brother. It's pleasing God. Amen. That should be the attitude of the bride. Pleasing God. Hallelujah. So brethren, I want to leave you now with the encouragement that now is the time that God wants to reestablish the relationship.
We don't have a lot of time here before we go to lunch, but I don't think that we can break and go to lunch unless we give you an opportunity to respond to the Word of God. We are talking about relationship, a position of commitment. We are talking about things in your lives that are keeping you from having that position or that place of relationship and commitment. And if we had the time, I would ask you all just to come up here so we could lay hands on you and pray for you. But we don't have that kind of time. But if the Word of God has touched your heart, if it has brought a conviction to you concerning your position of relationship, I would like you to stand up in your place or in your seat, and we will be able to pray with you and for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you are dealing with some sins in your life that are keeping you from having a relationship with God. Some of those sins are physical. They are sexual. Others are dealing with emotional or mental problems. It really makes no difference what your problem is. If you want God to deal with it, to deliver you, if you want to reestablish a position or a place of relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is what you are wanting to do. Then you have to begin to look, to open your heart to God. Ask God to forgive you. And to make and give you the strength to do better and to be better. Hallelujah. So as we pray for you, you can begin to just confess your position of weakness and ask God to forgive you. Hallelujah. So let us just open our hearts, lift our hands. Hallelujah. And begin to pray to God. You need to pray individually, out loud to God. Hallelujah. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Come on. Ask God to forgive you of your rebellion. Ask God to forgive you of your position of anger or lust or whatever it may be. Hallelujah. You have to verbally have to confess your sins before the Lord. It says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I'm not talking about you being receiving and confessing God as your Savior. I am talking about you confessing to God your position of transgression. That God can begin to give you more of the salvation that brings you to a place to where you can be part of that bride of Christ. Hallelujah. So I need to hear you. I need you to verbally begin to confess. Hallelujah. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins. Forgive us of our transgressions. Father, we are sinners. We have rebellion in our hearts. We have independence in our hearts. My God, forgive us. We have lust in our hearts. Hallelujah. We have desires outside of the righteousness of God in our hearts. Oh, God, forgive us. Forgive me, Lord, for my transgression. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Help us, Lord, to move into a better position of relationship with you. Father, we do not want to hear, where are you? Hallelujah. But we want to be in that close, intimate proximity of your presence. My God. Hallelujah. My God, in the name of Jesus. with the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we come against these devils, these principalities. The principality of anger. The principality of lust. The principality of independence. Ha! Loose them! My God, we come against the Jezebel spirits. Would want to assert and to bring us into a place of captivity. We come against it with the blood of Jesus Christ. My God, we ask that you deliver us, initiate within our hearts right now the process of deliverance. You see every heart here. You see the that is in the heart. You see the thing that keeps us from having a relationship with you. My God, we pray right now that you begin to loose the process of deliverance. Loose it within our personal lives, our personal set of circumstances. Want to come against every prince of hell that would want to perpetrate a lie that would deceive us and keep us from having that position of relationship. We come against this prince, this spirit of deception. We come against it with the blood of Jesus Christ. We say no more. We say no more. Will you have the power to stop our ears from hearing? That will cause our eyes not to see. My God, deliver your children. Establish within them the hunger and the thirst for righteousness. Hallelujah. I encourage you now just to open your heart and to receive. Receive. Receive the power of God. Receive the power of deliverance. Receive the power of healing. Hallelujah. Just receive it. In the name of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 Thank you.